KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies and 54 degrees. We look forward to be sunny here today with a high near 80. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest news. State regulators have denied a company's request to renew its gambling license for a casino in Sioux City. The Sioux City Journal reports the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission rejected Argosy Sioux City's license request, but didn't set a closing date for the company's floating casino. The commission will let the casino remain open while owner Penn National Gaming Company appeals its earlier rulings. The commission supports the replacement of the gambling boat with a land casino. In April, board members selected the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City for a new casino over three other proposals, including two offered by Penn National. Attorney Chris Tabak, who represents Penn National, accused the board of trampling on Penn's rights. The commission's meeting was in Riverside. Three companies made pitches to the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission this past Thursday seeking to be chosen to conduct market surveys for the gambling regulators. Commission Administrator Brian Orilko says the three made good proposals and the commission will act on the best plan at their next meeting.
The commission at the October meeting will make a decision and select either one or two vendors to do that study.
The studies were first spurred by the passage of a gambling referendum in Linn County in March and a proposal to build a new casino along the Cedar River in Cedar Rapids. Since then, a gambling referendum failed in Warren County. Another passed in Greene County, where a developer would like to build a new casino near Jefferson.
Now that Greene County passed their referendum in August, we would likely have the vendors take a look at that community as well to determine if that market is underserved and if it impacts other existing operators.
Everything hinges, he said, on what the market studies reveal.
The expectation would be that once the vendor or vendors are selected, that they would immediately start doing their analysis and their work. And we would expect that that the vendors would present at the March 2014 commission meeting.
The commission members would use the information from that March meeting to determine if they would be willing to award any new gambling licenses. Three companies that made proposals are Marquette Advisors Incorporated, Spectrum Gaming Group, and the Union Gaming Analytics. A spokeswoman for the Iowa Department of Public Safety says she's leaving after more than 6 years with the agency. DPS Information Specialist Jessica Lowne said Friday that she's taken a job with a Des Moines marketing firm, ZLR Ignition, and that her last day with the state will be on Wednesday. Lowne said she's proud of the work she's done to inform reporters and the public about ongoing investigations and to inform parents, motorists, and other citizens about safety issues. But she says it was simply time for her to move on to some and learn some new skills. In May, the department announced that Lieutenant Rob Hansen would become the primary contact for media inquiries after he was appointed Public Information Bureau Chief. Lowne remained a secondary media contact. The Philippine ambassador to the U.S. personally called Iowa Public Safety Commissioner K. Brian London to seek an explanation of his statement that he found Filipinos difficult to polygraph. Ambassador Jose Quesilla Jr. called London on Friday to say the remark was inappropriate and had offended Filipinos. He said London profusely apologized, even while insisting his remarks were taken out of context. A spokesman for London has confirmed that he told a group of polygraph examiners earlier this year that in his experience as a Secret Service agent back in the 1980s, London found that completing polygraphs with Filipinos was difficult. He says his remark was meant to illustrate cultural and language barriers that can complicate polygraph tests and did not mean to imply that Filipinos are less truthful than others. Well, Democrats plan to hold a special nominating convention to choose a candidate to run for Iowa House District 33, which is vacant due to the recent resignation of Representative Kevin McCarthy. Iowa Democratic Party Chair Scott Brennan said the meeting will be held September 4th at the Iowa Democratic Party's headquarters in Des Moines. The legislative district, which includes the southeastern portions of Des Moines, was left vacant when McCarthy resigned to take a job with the Iowa Attorney General's office. McCarthy, who has been Democratic leader in the House for 7 years, represented the district for 11 years. His resignation was effective on Thursday. A special election to fill the vacancy is scheduled for October 22nd. A former instructor at the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy said that she was fired months after she filed a complaint about the assistant director's inappropriate sexual remarks to female students. Academy officials are denying retaliation in the January firing of Nancy Brady, who had worked 14 years as an instructor for dispatchers. Brady contends that she was fired after being unfairly accused of threatening the academy director. She said it was the culmination of retaliation that started after she filed a complaint against assistant director Michael Quinn. Brady has filed civil rights and discrimination complaints against academy officials over her firing and is considering legal action. She said that she shared details of her case publicly in hopes of sparking changes at the academy. Officials say dove hunting is growing in popularity throughout Iowa since lawmakers legalized the sport in 2011, following years of sometimes angry debate. The State Department of Natural Resources said the number of people registering to hunt mourning doves has gradually increased since lawmakers changed state law 2 years ago. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service data shows more than 9,000 dove hunters are registered in Iowa, although numbers are preliminary. Officials say they're still learning how to manage the 70-day season that begins on September the 1st. Opponents had fought legalization, arguing the birds represented peace and have so little meat that the only reason to shoot them was as target practice. Supporters of the change responded that the birds are plentiful and there was no reason to keep them off limits. Animal welfare groups are suing to stop a return to domestic horse slaughter. They did that Friday, and they posted a nearly $500,000 bond to keep the temporary ban in effect. But the groups are fighting the court order that requires them to cover potential losses by the slaughterhouses should the organizations ultimately lose their lawsuit. Attorneys for the Humane Society of the United States and others argue the bond should not be required because their case is against the federal government and its permitting processes, not the companies that were recently given permission to begin slaughtering horses. The groups met last month and won a temporary restraining order to halt plans by Valley Meat Company of Roswell, New Mexico, and Responsible Transportation of Sigourney, Iowa, to open their plants this month. Iowa biodiesel production in this year's second quarter reached a record high. Monty Shaw, executive director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, said 9 plants in the state produced nearly 57 million gallons of biodiesel in 3 months.
That puts us on pace to be over 200 million gallons of production for the year in Iowa alone. That quarter was a record. It narrowly beat the previous record from a year ago in the same quarter.
Shaw says a combination of factors are responsible for the record biodiesel production.
The federal renewable fuel standard and the biodiesel tax credit have combined to really help biodiesel be very competitive in the face of the advantages that the oil industry had.
He says the RFS and the tax credit are giving the renewable fuel a solid means to compete with big oil.
They have their tax credits, they have their programs, and so really we've been able to level the playing field and let the value of biodiesel flow through to the consumer.
Shaw says biodiesel production boosts farmers' incomes by increasing the value of soybeans, lowers fuel costs, and raises the value of animal fats for the state's livestock producers. The Iowa Association of Realtors report for July shows that sales were up just over 18%. Association President Don Marple said more people decided it was time to move their homes.
Homes available for sale have gone up a little bit, which is going to be great because people are understanding the market's getting better to be out there and selling your homes right now. The prices have gone up almost 11% from last year. Just phenomenal, and we just can't ask for a better market right now.
The report says nearly 4,100 homes sold or closed in July with the average sale price of $168,823. July is normally the time of year when sales pick up as people are looking to move before the school starts again in the fall. Marple says some of the uptick can be attributed to that, but not all.
It is better, I mean, compared to the last 2 or 3 years. Some of our numbers are showing that our market right now is better than the summer of 2005. And it's just been the highest in inventory and highest of home sales out there that we have seen in almost, 8 years.
Interest rates moved up a bit in the last month, but Marble says that was probably a positive for the housing market.
Well, if anything, it might have spurred people to say, hey, we need to get in the market now. We've missed the low end. Let's get it while we can.
The final quarter of the year is here, and Marple said the overall real estate picture should shape up to be a good one.
With the pending so high in July, it looks like it's just going to be great. And I see nothing but the market increasing every month and the values increasing every month. So it's just positive. Everything is positive for the rest of the year into 2014.
The report from the Realtors Association said sellers on average received 96.2% of the price they asked for their homes. Marple says that's an indication of the tight supply of homes on the market, as he says the list price received at sale has not been consistently above 96% since the summer of 2007. Taking a look at national news headlines, hundreds of homes near Sun Valley, Idaho, remain threatened by a wildfire gobbling up dry sage and pine trees near the affluent mountain resort community. Officials say they expect windy conditions again today, making firefighting difficult. Sheriff's deputies expanded evacuation orders to 1,600 homes. The advent of digital meters, which allow real-time monitoring, is prompting some utility companies to rethink their billing plans. In a shakeup of rigid one-rate business models, they're increasingly offering plans similar to mobile phone companies, and that is free nights, free weekends, and prepaid plans. 42% of U.S. electric customers have digital meters. In world news, witnesses say Egyptian security forces have fired tear gas and stormed a Cairo mosque where hundreds of supporters of the ousted president were barricaded inside. Gunfire could be heard. Egypt's official news agency, MENA, reported that gunmen opened fire on security forces from the mosque's mini-market, or minaret. Local television stations broadcast live footage of soldiers firing assault rifles at the minaret. Divers in the Philippines are making their way through a ferry boat that sank after a collision, leaving more than 200 people missing. The ferry carried more than 800 passengers and crew. It collided with a cargo vessel that was heading into the central Philippines port of Cebu. More than 30 people are confirmed dead, and hundreds were rescued. In our funeral announcements, Warren Jacobson, age 87, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Warren Jacobson will be this morning at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Darlene May Peterson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Darlene Peterson will be today at 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Marie Warner, age 95, of Avoca, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Helen Warner will be today at 11 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Marvin Butch Peterson, age 76, of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Butch Peterson will be today at 2:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Michael Charles Lee, age 55, of Denison, died Thursday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Graveside services for Michael Lee will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Shelby Cemetery in Shelby. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Leon Willis Hansen, age 75, of Harlan, died Wednesday in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Leon Hansen will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mavis C. Morey, age 90, of Red Oak, died Thursday at Nebraska Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Mavis Morey will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak. And Vernon Roche, age 70, of Rowe Greenfield, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Vernon Roche are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.